I want to share with you from the Word of God a little bit tonight, especially as you and I are heading into a new year. And without any doubt, it is a turbulent time that we're not only living in, but a time that we're heading into, which is difficult for many, many people, more so, I guess, for some countries in the world, but certainly felt by all at this time. And I want to talk to you based on a simple concept in the Word of God. It's about a man who was studying a certain concept, something that God was trying to teach him all of his life. And yet when he came to the end, when he needed to learn the lesson that he had been taught, it seemed like he hadn't learned it. And what a tragedy it would be if in our generation we repeated that cycle of having this incredible history of God, the knowledge, the understanding, the Word of God, God revealing not just through the text of Scripture, but through history and through events, the things that he has done, only to find ourselves, you and I, in a place today where maybe coming into the time where we need to have learned the lesson the most, that we find ourselves failing the exam, just as King Hezekiah once did. The Bible describes King Hezekiah as one of the more righteous kings of the nation of Israel. Now, righteousness means walking in right relationship with God. This is something that God has done for you and I through Jesus Christ. We are righteous in the sight of God. That means we are received with God, we are forgiven by God, not because we have done everything right, but because we trusted in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. We opened our hearts to him, invited him into our lives as Lord and Savior, and he received us as his own and gave us the power to become a new people. We move from what we were to the kind of a person that God created us to be. And then in that context, he starts teaching us things about himself, about his own character. There are lessons that God tries to teach us for a specific reason. Now, in Isaiah chapter 36, Hezekiah finds himself in one of the first major battles of his life. A nation called Assyria literally surrounds the city that he was in, called Jerusalem at that time. The Assyrians were a people who were known to conquer by assimilation. They simply just overwhelmed you by numbers, took you out of where you were, and forced you to go where they wanted you to go. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And even in our day, we have to fight against this kind of a social thought. So they surrounded the city, and they said, "We're stronger than you are. We have more people than you have. And you're so weak," as a matter of fact, they actually taunted Hezekiah over the wall of the city. They said, "We'll give you 2,000 horses to come and put soldiers on to fight against us if you can find enough soldiers that are still strong enough to sit on the horses that we will give you." In other words, we're so much superior to you in strength that you have no chance to stand against us. Hezekiah knew it was true, but he did what people have done throughout history. He took this threat that was against the people of God of that time, and he took it into the temple of God, and he spread it out before the Lord. He just went to prayer in the house of God, and he prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear, and open your eyes and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to reproach the living God. Truly," he said, "Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste other nations and their lands. And they've cast their gods into the fire because they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord, you alone." And the Bible tells us after he went in to the temple and took this prayer before God, when he had no chance, in a sense, of winning the victory by himself, God sent one angel that night. And one angel, just one angel. And when Hezekiah woke up in the morning, he went outside the city, and 185,000 enemy soldiers, the scripture tells us, laid dead in the field. You see, so Hezekiah knew the power of God. When you pray, God answers. And he doesn't answer with mediocre answers. He has power. He has power to do whatever he wants to do when in sincerity we bring our requests before him. So if you have something that you are facing tonight, you have something that's in your future that's threatening to swallow you. It could be a battle with drugs. It could be a battle with depression. It could be just a self-image issue that you have in your life. It could be a sense of hopelessness about going forward in the future. Remember these lessons from Scripture. You can pray as Hezekiah prayed, and God will fight for you. We sang that tonight. God will fight for you. He's lighting up a candle in this darkness, and he's doing something that only he can do. This is not time for you and I to back up and try to make peace with our enemies. This is a time for you and I to go forward and say to the devil himself, you're not going to have my family. You're not having my future. You're not taking my mind. You are not going to win this battle. And once you win at that level, you can start praying for your community, your coworkers in the workplace. You can be bold enough to pray for your town, sometimes your state, your country, whatever it is that you're in, and start to believe God for the miraculous. So Hezekiah was taken through this classroom, and surely, surely, by the time he came out of this, he had to know the power of God. Imagine if you and I were in his place, and we realized all of a sudden that God is able to take a whole enemy army, and with one angel, just set it all in a field, having lost its life, its power, its threats, everything is gone. Hezekiah knew this, knew who God was, and knew God could do this. You and I today, we also have the history, not just a personal history of what God has done in our lives, but we have the biblical history of what he's done, including this story. And it's phenomenal when you and I begin to realize who it is we're praying to and what he's able to do. Then in Isaiah chapter 38, the Lord takes Hezekiah into another classroom. He's come to a place in his life where he's given a word that your life is over. You're done. Set your house in order. You're going to die. And instead of giving up at that word, sometimes you and I can get a word from a doctor. We can get a word from anywhere that tells us your future's done. It's all over. You have no hope for the future. Instead of giving up, in the face of that threat that came against him, Hezekiah, the Bible says, turned his face to the wall and he began to pray again and said, oh God, please remember me. I'm paraphrasing his prayer, but he said something like this. I've tried to walk an honest walk before you since you called me and I knew you. And I think I've done right. And perhaps if he'd failed in some area that he wasn't trying to hide it. He was just walking an honest walk with God. And he said, Lord, please, give me a future. Don't let my life be taken from me now. And the Bible says that the word of the Lord came to the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah went back into the room where this man was laying down, really on his deathbed, and said, God has heard your prayer and he's seen your tears and he's added to your life 15 more years. So Hezekiah knew not just the power of God in defeating the Assyrian army, but he knew the mercy of God. God's willingness to not just show power, but to be merciful to us in our physical conditions, in our frailty, our struggles, our trials. And all of that was classroom after classroom that God was bringing him through, just like he does for you and I. He brings us through classrooms to teach us something. And God forbid that we should fail the exam after studying for so long, after knowing all that God is able to do, after all the history that we have had and Hezekiah had, he came to a moment where another kingdom now came against him and came against his people, a kingdom called Babylon, which really represented the world system as it is apart from God. The system of godlessness that says we are more powerful than you and we're going to come and we're going to take everything from you. We're going to take your culture. We're going to take your children. We're going to take your treasure. Everything you've laid up, everything you've become, we're coming in and we're going to lay claim to it and it's going to become ours. I think we fight a similar battle in America today where we have a culture of godlessness coming into the country saying, we're going to take your history, we're going to take your children, we're going to take your future, we're going to take all the treasures you've laid up, we're going to change everything literally that you've ever trusted in and believed in. We're going to call what you believed was evil good and what you proclaimed was good, we're going to call it evil. So we're facing a very, very similar time to what Hezekiah faced. It says, Isaiah said to him, hear the word of the Lord. The days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. The days are coming. Imagine getting a word like that. The days are coming when everything that America has been, everything America has stood on, everything America has believed, everything America has accumulated as a history is all going to be taken away and carried and assimilated into this place of godlessness. And in verse 7, he says, they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. In other words, you're going to take your children, your sons, and they're going to be sexually altered, and they're going to be brought into a foreign place and made to serve a foreign king. After all that Hezekiah had been through, it's almost unfathomable what comes out of his mouth next. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you've spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. Can you just imagine that? He'd gotten to the point of saying, well, as long as all of this doesn't happen during my lifetime, isn't that a good thing? I want to suggest it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to yield our children to godlessness. It's not a good thing to let the enemies of God come in and take away our culture and our heritage and our future and lay claim to every treasure that's ever been laid up in the kingdom that God has given to us as he once gave to Hezekiah. And as we go into the year 2020, my prayer for you is that the prayer of Hezekiah would not be your final prayer. When you end up just saying, well, as long as I'm okay, as long as I'm happy, as long as there's food in my cupboard, as long as there's ice in my freezer, as long as everything goes good with me, then so what if the children get taken captive? So what if our culture is lost, our history is robbed? So what if evil is called good and good is called evil, as long as it goes okay with me? You see, this is not the prayer that we're to be praying as the Church of Jesus Christ now. We're to be standing. We're to be believing. If I can't help but think that if I had been Hezekiah, I don't know about you, but I'd be right back in the house of God again, laying this threat out before God, remembering what God has done in the past, remembering that even in New York City in 1857, there was a great, great revival of prayer where over a million people, it is said, eventually throughout the country came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remembering our history, I'd be in the house of God saying, this is the threat, that our history is going to be taken away, our culture is going to be robbed, our children are going to be altered and taken into a foreign place. I would be laying this out before God and remembering the angel that once came down and destroyed an entire enemy army. A seeming future being taken away, I would be, if I were Hezekiah, saying, God, you were merciful to me. You gave me 15 more years. So God, I'm asking you to be merciful to this next generation. I'm asking you to be merciful to our children. It seems like our face is to the wall. It's true, again. But you saved me, and you healed me, and you gave me a future. Knowing all of these things, can you imagine studying, going all through college and studying the same topic over and over and over again, and then getting to the final exam? And in Hezekiah's case, it's not that he failed it. I don't even think he chose to write it. What a tragedy to end that way, to be a righteous God-honoring person and finish in such a dishonoring way. So as we go into the year 2020, I want to challenge you, no matter what country you're in or what your state is in life, be bold in what you believe that God is able to do. Be bold when it comes to praying for your family, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, for your extended family. Be bold in your prayers. The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, the Lord says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't come in with your head down and your hands dragging and your knees bent. Come in as a son or daughter of the king. Come in as one who's invited to petition the throne of God to do what only God can do. Be bold in your prayer. And this is not a time for you and I to draw back and say, well, Lord, just preserve me and let me be happy and let me finish out, you know, comfortably. This is a time to fight for those who maybe don't have a voice to fight for themselves. It's a time for you and I to pray like we've never prayed before and to believe God that Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, is the same today as he was yesterday and will be tomorrow. Everything he's done in the past, he can do again. Every prayer he's ever answered, he can answer again. Every moment of power he's displayed, he can display again. Every person who's felt hopeless and he's given them hope and extended their lives, he can do it again. This is the God that we serve. So I want to challenge you with all of my heart, with everything that is in me. I want to challenge you tonight as we go into the year 2020. Let this be a year where you appear at the throne of God. Not a year where you cower away into a corner and try to preserve yourself, but you come into the presence of God and you say, I'm here to fight for my family. I'm here to fight for my future. I'm here to fight for my city, my town, my nation, my culture. And I'm asking you, God, to do the work that you've done in the past and that I know in my heart that only you can do. I refuse to be among those who've been always studying and never learned the lesson they were supposed to learn. I believe with all my heart, it's time to pray. If ever there was a time to pray, it's time to pray now. And let's you and I start believing God for greater days ahead, for all of us, for all of our families, for all of our children, for all of our grandchildren, for our schools, our high schools, our colleges, for people all throughout the nation, for those that have no voice to cry out for themselves, for the unborn, yet this coming year. God, may you give us the grace, God, to pray. I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, for the power to pray, for the courage to pray, for the faith to pray. Lord, that we would be a people who really did learn the lesson you've been trying to teach us all these years. God Almighty, deliver us from being a people who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How pitiful it is, God, if that would be our condition. We ask you, Lord, for boldness in our prayers. We ask you, God, that we would be able to stand in your presence, knowing that when we kneel before you, we will be given the power to stand before our enemies. God, thank you for encouraging us again from the words of Scripture. Thank you for unlocking incredible truth that we can lay hold of. And it can affect not just our futures, but the futures of many people throughout this world. Lord, we ask you in our generation to push back the weapons of darkness. You yourself said when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. So God, raise us up. Open our hearts, our voices, God. Give us faith and confidence in our hearts to know that when we pray, you hear. When you hear, you act. Because you're a God of power and you're a God of mercy. We've learned that, God, in our own lives. So we're not going to just hold it to ourselves and hide in a closet. We're going to step out into the open as the people of God with strong confidence in the things that you alone are able to do in the future. We ask you for mercy, Lord God, for our children in this nation and others around the world, lest they be indoctrinated in godlessness. Set them free from that which would come and captivate them and take them to a foreign place. You yourself said, Lord, that when people enter into the fields of the fatherless, you will arise and defend them. So we're simply asking you tonight to be who you said you are. We're not asking you for anything extraordinary. It's just who you are. We ask you to arise and defend the children in this generation from this baptism of filth that tries to get a hold of them from the time they're in kindergarten to the time they graduate from college. God, we ask you for deliverance for our sons and daughters in our nation at this time. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this prayer meeting that has gone around the world in 205 countries over the last few years. Thank you, Lord, for the numbers of people that are praying with us even right now. Thank you, God, that we are going to be a people of faith, a people who reach out, a people who believe. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would set aflame churches, towns, cities, God, with a passion for you and for the work of your kingdom. Let faith arise in every heart. Don't let us draw back. You yourself said, if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. So help us, God, not to draw back. Help us to go forward, Lord, as a victorious church, a faith-filled church, a people who cannot be denied, where if we see it in the word, no is just not an answer. God, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for all that you have done, all you are doing, and all that you will do. We give you the praise and all the glory for who you are. Lord, we thank you with all of our heart tonight. Even as we are praying right now, Lord, we ask for deliverance. Stretch your hand out through the internet, God, and set people free. Lord, from depression, despair, addiction, whatever it is, God, a physical affliction, God, whatever is going on, set people free. Set people free from unbelief tonight, God. As we go into this new year, let us not go in with a whimper. Let us go in with a shout. As the people of God marched around Jericho and on the seventh day shouted and the walls of their enemies fell down flat. Let it be, God, that this is the kind of prayers we pray as a people. I'm asking you, Lord, that 2020 would be a year of incredible visitation throughout the world of your Holy Spirit. A year when you truly do unlock prison doors, heal those that are bruised in heart. You set the oppressed free. God, you give sight to those who can't see a way forward. And the treasure of God's power and mercy is revealed to those who have no way to go forward without it. Oh, God, do the work that only you can do, Father. And Lord, we ask you to do this in Jesus' mighty name.